Chapter 2. It's not until I reach the river that I risk a glance behind me. The streets are dark, empty, as they always are at this time of night. Once I'm sure no one's followed me, I slow to a walk and unwrap the scarf from my face. The papers crackle inside my frock. I think I've done all right, but I'm suddenly hit by a bad dose of the doubts. Madame Delacroix wanted the box, didn't she? I've managed to bring her only what was inside. And even then, I didn't get all of the papers. My mood sinks fast. I'm tired and hungry. I want this job to be finished so I can claim my coins and walk away. If she doesn't give me all 5, 4 would do. Or if she twisted my arm, I suppose I'd take 3. Even that's more than I've ever earned before. The plan is to meet her just past the turnpike. On the left, there's a little lane that runs up the valley. At the top of the lane is a gate. That's where Madame Delacroix will be when the clock strikes 4. Though I've plenty of time, I'm twitchy to get there because it's where I've left Coco, wrapped in my jacket under a hedge. I don't want the foxes finding him first. The moon is up, casting shadows as I head out of town. Knowing the skies above me, clear and bright, I relax a little. A few yards past the turnpike, I take the left turning. It's then I notice footprints in the dirt. One person's, large, with a delicate, narrow heel. My shoulders tense. She's early. The footprints carry on all the way up the lane. It's proper countryside up here, with hedges that loom high over your head, and the moon is so bright that everything looks silver. Finally, the lane comes to a dead end at a gate. Leaning against it is the outline of a tall, wide-shouldered person, wearing a cape that folds about her like dark wings. Madame Delacroix is waiting for me. It's meant to be the other way around. The change of plan makes me wary as I approach. You said 4 o'clock, I tell her. I've an impatient nature, she replies, which makes me hope more than ever she's not disappointed with what I've got stuffed down my frock. I notice then she's holding something at arm's length, like it's poisonous or vicious. I stare in horror. It's Coco. He's still wrapped in my jacket, but scrabbling to get free. Don't hurt him, I cry. We've just been getting acquainted, that's all, she says coolly. I lick my lips, try to calm down. But my heart's going 20 to the dozen, and I can't keep back. As I go to grab Coco, she twists away, holding him out of reach. No, no, it's rude to snatch, she chides. It's pretty clear she's not going to hand him over, not until I give her what she wants from me. And she can't have it, frankly. I'm fed up of the papers prickling my skin. Here! From inside my frock I pull out a fistful. Take 'em! In one quick movement, I seize the bundle of Coco and my jacket and thrust the papers into her hand. It takes her by surprise. She lets go, then looks down at the papers. What the deuce are these? The box was too awkward, I try to explain. I couldn't keep hold of it, and it was risky. At the house, people were still awake. She narrows her eyes at me. Who? Exactly. I think of the boy and his duck at the back door, the woman with the candle coming down the passage, decent folk whom I don't want to dwell on. I don't know who, she interrupts. I sent you to take a valuables box from a house. It was quite simple. You said you could do it. You're supposed to be the best. I start to get angry. Now look here, lady. I did what I could. The box was full of these papers. I thought you wanted them.